And good morning. It is 8:19. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU. I'm News Director Jonathan Reeves. And joining me right now, we're talking to Chintan Desai, who is the Democratic challenger for U.S. Representative Rick Crawford in the first district race for the House of Representatives seat. And he joins me on the phone lines this morning. Mr. Desai, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jonathan. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And I know that you are in Jefferson County this morning. You're a part of your 30 in 30. Kind of tell us about how that campaign has been going here so far in the month of July.
Yeah, so we are traveling. Our campaign is traveling to all 30 counties in the 1st Congressional District during the month of July, 30 counties in 30 days. It's been the privilege of a lifetime. It's been exciting. Humbling. I really do believe that the best way to represent people is to meet them where they are. And in order for our elected officials, for us to understand the issues that affect the lives of Arkansans, we have to be willing to travel, meet with people from our district. I get that that's not easy. We've got 17,000 square miles in our district, 30 counties, like I said, many unique towns, cities, and regions in each county. But just because it's hard, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing it. We've got to have the energy and the drive to meet with voters in the communities where they live. We've got to be willing to face voters, hear them out about issues they care about. And this does often mean responding to difficult questioning or frustrated or disaffected voters. Just the thing that I've got to remember, though, is while that might seem unpleasant at times, to take tough questions from constituents about some of the challenges they're facing, it is nothing compared to the actual challenges that they want to talk about. They're frustrated for a reason, and it's the job of our representative to hear those frustrations and do something about them. And look, the point that I want to make here is Congressman Crawford is someone who has bragged about being the most accessible member of Congress, while at the same time has refused to hold town halls with his constituents. He has deleted his Facebook page. People can only text him now, and usually that's really only his staff. We went to Dumas. He's got a congressional constituent office there a month ago. On his website, it said that was open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. It was closed then. We went back last Friday. We tried to go in. It was still closed. And that's incredibly problematic for a congressman, for someone who represents individuals. Again, it's not easy, but to have so many different ways in which he's not being accessible, we're just trying to make sure that people see that we are out there. And look, because of Congressman Crawford's his absentia, the fact that he's not meeting with people, the fact that he's not accessible, there are many Arkansas families that feel that they're not being heard in Washington, and I agree with them. They are, if they were being heard, our representative, he wouldn't be supporting a disastrous trade war. He wouldn't be trying to cut Medicare. So these are just some of the things that we're trying to point out during this 30 and 30.
What are some of the frustrations that you're hearing right now? You said that there's been a lot of tough questions and a lot of things you've been having to field out there. What are some of those things, if you would mind elaborating, please?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is the soybean tariffs and the way that that's going to affect Arkansas farmers, the incredible effect it's going to have on our economy. Look, we have given Congressman Crawford every opportunity to disavow these tariffs. This was first raised a couple of months ago. He bragged about them. He mentioned that exports are up on soybeans. And if you think about that for a second, okay, exports are up on soybeans, but they're also at their lowest price in a decade. So we are selling more of our hard-earned products for even less than we had been. And that's a big loss for us. It's a big loss for farmers, and they are incredibly worried about this. It's time that we have Rick Crawford stand up and be a leader, and I really do hope that because people's livelihoods are at stake, the next time that he's on your show, that he does disavow these tariffs. It's time that we have someone who steps up for our farmers, for our families.
Talking about that, I know you made a reference to that with some of the concern about economic damage that could be suffered. If you were in office, what would you do to try to protect Arkansas farmers from such possible economic injury?
So we have to take the long view on this. And what I'd want to do is try to renegotiate some of our trade deals, particularly NAFTA. With some of these trade deals, there's incredible incentive for multinational corporations to offshore jobs, stagnate wages, move jobs right to places where there are lower labor standards. Essentially, you've got this race to the bottom. Other countries don't have the same labor standards that that we do. And if we had a more transparent process in negotiating these trade deals, if we involved different communities, particularly labor, in the negotiation of those trade deals, we wouldn't have, again, this race to the bottom where corporations feel like they can go to other countries and at the cost of American workers. What we're seeing right now is, with this protectionism, with what we're trying to do here, what the Trump administration is trying to do, is we're actually seeing the same outsourcing that we're trying to prevent. Harley Davidson, right, trying to, they're moving their plants and operation to other countries. What we know is that this strategy of shoot from the hip, sort of go it alone, strategy is isolating ourselves from our allies. We've got President Trump, he called the European Union a foe the other day. This kind of thinking, this kind of action, it makes our bargaining position much weaker. When you don't have friends at the bargaining table, we're not going to be successful in these trade deals.
What do you think would be, how would you define good trade between America and the world?
Yeah, it's free trade, but it's fair trade. And again, I would go back to making sure that trade deals are taking into account the different labor standards of different countries and raising them, raising labor standards throughout the world. So again, that corporations don't have any kind of incentive to offshore jobs, stagnate wages.
Some Republicans state that this trade war that's going on right now with China is a response to what they say have been years of bad trade practices by China against American goods. What are your thoughts on that?
And that's okay. And that if that's their thinking, that's fine. But like I said before, if you are isolating yourselves from your allies, we're not just putting tariffs on Chinese goods. We're also doing it, placing them on EU goods, on our neighbors, Mexico and Canada. And when we're doing a combination, right, of protectionism against Chinese products, but also our allies, what we're doing is we're isolating ourselves and we don't have our friends at the bargaining table. If you want to take on China, that's fine. But let's actually do have allies and other countries on board.
With this, I know we talked last time about United States and China, and when we were talking about it, that was before the trade war seemed to escalate with China increasing more tariffs against American goods. We've been kind of talking about that over the past couple of minutes. By the way, I'm talking with Chintan Desai here on KASU. How do you see this coming to an end? When do you see this trade war coming to an end?
Yeah, we don't know, right? There's a lot of uncertainty that's created by these tariffs. We don't know what the goals or the timeline of these tariffs are. I'm concerned what happens when they're gone. I mean, originally, right, we were talking about steel tariffs. Even if there is some small benefit to that industry, we will have artificially protected the industry, artificially propped them up for a time. And when they go away, that's going to hurt that industry. We know in 2002, the Bush administration, they placed tariffs on imported steel. That lasted over a year, and then they were gone, and that ultimately hurt us. Look, I think the thing that we need to do instead of trade wars, instead of protectionism, there are things that we could do to make sure that our workforce as a whole is improved, and that's by making sure that they are healthy, that they are paid well, getting the education they deserve. Those are all right related to some of the things that we want to do in terms of the campaign that we're running. That, in the long run, is the way that we can benefit industry in Arkansas and America. It's not through this process, which, again, to your question, we don't know how this is going to end, and that's incredibly problematic.
Jen, one thing I was going to ask, President Trump and President Putin are meeting as we're speaking now. They're meeting at a summit in Finland. Kind of your thoughts on the meeting between these two world leaders?
Yeah, we're not paying a ton of attention to it. We do know that the whole Russia deal, obviously the investigation that's going on, to us it's a bit of a sideshow. Republicans do like to talk about the Russia investigation. They like to talk about how it's a witch hunt. Our focus is not Russia, the investigation. Obviously, we want to make sure we have strong relations with all countries. Our thought here is, in terms of particularly the investigation, we need to make sure that we support our law enforcement and our government. It's predicated on the idea that we ought to have a separation of powers, checks and balances. Right now, Congress is not doing that. Congressman Rick Crawford is not holding this administration accountable. And there's unparalleled corruption in this administration. There's evidence for that with the indictments that we've received from the Mueller investigation. That's part of why we need to elect a Democratic Congress to provide a powerful check on that corruption.
What do you think the relationship between Russia and the United States should be?
I mean, it ought to be strong. It ought to be one where, we work together as two nations. But it also needs to be one where we are holding them accountable for their actions. We now know that there's clear evidence that Russia meddled in our elections, that they were a force that influenced our election system. And, regardless of partisan lines and how you felt the election ought to have the outcome of the election, we need to make sure that there are consequences for a country that tried to influence our election. That's something that's incredibly scary. And part of what we need to do in terms of our relationship with them is find out what happened there and make sure it never happens again.
Switching gears here, we only have just about a few more minutes left here. I know probably one of the concerns that you've probably heard is people are just frustrated with Washington altogether. They say the system is just incredibly broken right now, and it's very, very partisan by way of that. And you may have seen some of that on the campaign trail where people are extremely frustrated about this. How do you think this could be fixed, and how do you plan to work with Republicans and others to try to fix a system that appears to be so broken?
It goes back for me to the what we started talking about. It goes back to talking to people, to listening to their concerns, to hearing out disaffected voters. I have a platform and particular policy proposals that I have thought that we have brought forward and we think are the things that can help make this country better. But what's going to influence that is also just going around and talking to individuals, meeting them where they are, listening to them, and figuring out what are the additional things that we need to add to that. I don't claim to know, every single policy proposal that's going to help improve our country. And again, when you have a congressman who has been completely inaccessible, who really the only way, again, that you can get to him is by a text. And even if you do that, you're reaching a staff member. That exacerbates the problems, right? You have people who are, they don't like what's happening in Washington. They don't trust it. And then they can't even reach their representative. We're going to be much more accessible. We're going to make sure that we hold a town hall every single month. We're going to make sure that our congressional offices, our constituent offices are actually open and functioning. That's the way that we're actually going to make sure that people's voices are heard and represented in Washington.
Chin Desai has been joining us this morning, and he is running for the 1st Congressional District seat that is currently being held by Representative Rick Crawford. He's a Democratic challenger, and he joins us this morning on KASU. Mr. Desai, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us.
Jonathan, thanks for having me.
And it's 8:33. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves.